What's up, ODs and eyewear lovers? We're talking the latest trends in tech and eye care, so sit back, relax, and defocus.
This podcast is in partnership with Essilor.
Well, hello and welcome to the Defocus Media Podcast. I'm Jennifer Lyerly and I'm joined by Dr. Daryl Glover. Daryl, how are you doing today?
Jennifer, I'm excited. I'm super pumped. I'm doing extremely well because today we are talking about something that I love to deal with in a practice.
You know what? That intro is shocking to me because I've never heard anyone say that they love progressives before, but if any person on this world does, it is probably you.
Let me tell you, Jen, for me, my ideal patient walking into my office is someone that's like 39 to 60 years of age, simply because I'm going to put them in a progressive and I'm going to make sure that they're going to wear them.
Yeah. I mean, and you're very effective in that age category in prescribing functional and fashionable eyewear for them. To go with your expertise, we actually have, I would guess so far as to call him the poster child of progressive lenses. Please welcome to the show, Dr. Ryan Powell.
Well, hey, thanks for that intro. The poster child may not be the perfect description of me, but some of you may have seen me in some recent magazines with some Essilor ads. Thanks for having me, Dr. Glover and Dr. Lyerly. It's great to join you today.
Yeah, man, you're a celebrity, man. I definitely want to get your autograph on the actual flyer or poster next time I see you.
Yeah, perfect.
And Powell, we know you've got a lot more going on than just like modeling in your spare time. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your practice and patient demographics.
Yes, I would put modeling way at the bottom of the list of things I have going on. But yeah, I graduated from Southern College of Optometry in 2002. I opened a private practice cold in 2004 in a little strip mall here in Kansas City, Missouri. Since that initial practice location, I've done some expansion and some acquisition and currently own 10 practices, all kind of in this Kansas City, Missouri. Some are metro practices, some are kind of suburbia, and then kind of a couple of them kind of out in the rural area of Missouri here. So yeah, I stay pretty busy. I see patients a couple days a week myself, and then spend a couple days a week managing the practice. So definitely keeps me on my toes.
When you have 10 practices, you're probably seeing patients across every age demographic. But are you seeing that your practice is skewed towards a certain patient base when you're seeing the patients?
You know, it's interesting. I have been out of practice or been out of optometry school, I guess, since 2002. When I initially started practice, I was really focused on pediatric eye care and the infancy program and some of those things. So I kind of grew my practice with those families, patients that I was seeing. And it's interesting now, 15, 16 years after starting practice, I'm seeing more presbyopes. I've become a presbyope. My families that are coming to see me, I'm starting to see more of that 45 to 65 demographic. A lot of my patients now are my kids' friends and families and their parents.
Makes sense. I honestly really want to pick your brain about this because Daryl and I, though the path is not far for us at this point, we are not presbyopes yet. And as a presbyope, do you think about presbyopia differently now in your prescribing habits?
Absolutely. So it's kind of a funny thing, you know, when you're in your late 20s or into your 30s and you're prescribing lenses for patients that you're not wearing yourself. There's a little bit of disconnect there maybe. I think we all learn lots about how presbyopia works and all those things. But now that I am understanding, I'm a 44-year-old. So now that I'm understanding what life is like at 44, I think the primary difference would be I'm starting to think more about what we use our eyes for every day. What sort of range of vision needs do we have? So yeah, definitely it changes my kind of thought process on some of these things.
You know, a lot of students listen to this podcast, and one of the problems that they really can't wrap their head around is how progressive is designed. I mean, I know all progressives are not equal, but I know there's an amazing one out there, you know, the Verilux X lens. And how do you feel that lens is different from the other lenses that are on the market? And how do you explain that to your patients?
Yeah, that's a great point, Daryl. And I think even when I got out of optometry school, so much focus on the medical side of practice and diagnostics medically that I didn't have a lot of understanding of different progressives and how they work. And I would say early in my career, I made some mistakes in prescribing progressives. And a lot of that had to do with really my understanding of who needs them and then how does the progressive work. So I think over the course of my career, I think a couple of things I've learned there. Number one, I've been a lot more time today understanding the patient's lifestyle, their hobbies, and what they're doing every day, what their work environment's like, those types of things. And then I also allow my reps, the SLOR reps, to spend time with myself and my staff. There's so much great technology these days. You know, I've kind of learned to let myself be educated on what's happening there. It's a huge part of our practice. In terms of revenue and what we're doing for our patients. And I think focusing and kind of keeping our focus on, we're trying to provide our patients with great solutions for their vision. And we want to know what those great solutions are. And then we want to be able to kind of transfer that information to the patient, which my philosophy there is it basically allows the patient to make an educated decision about what they're doing with their vision.
You know, you really hit the nail on the head when you mentioned the word lifestyle and also utilization of the reps. You know, you can't really help a patient out unless you truly know their lifestyle. I mean, what they do for a living, their hobbies, what they do for fun. And you can't really truly solve the problem unless you know the lens technology. And I think those are actually really two main pieces that people are missing when it comes to just prescribing anything, whether single vision, but most importantly, a progressive lens design.
Right. I could not agree more. And I remember in optometry school, my teachers trying to talk to me about what's the patient doing with their life? You know, what are their daily activities? And at the time, I thought, oh, that doesn't really matter that much. You know, they need a new pair of glasses. So yeah, it's really interesting to, as I've evolved as an optometrist, to kind of learn how important that is. What's been awesome with the Varilux X is, you know, there's reduced head movement for the patient. So they're not having to, you know, kind of do the point their nose thing. We have patients that, you know, they're looking at their phone and then they're drinking a cup of coffee and they're signing a credit card receipt, you know, they're bouncing their eyes all over the place. So, you know, a lens like the Varilux X fits that sort of lifestyle perfectly because they're so busy doing all those up close things that they can bounce around much easier than these newer designs.
Yeah, I mean, it makes life a lot easier. And also we don't have to look at folks looking like bobbleheads just running around the entire world, right?
Exactly.
You mentioned such a good point because I remember when I was a technician, okay, but before optometry school, when we would train our patients about picking up their progressives, it was honestly pretty terrible sounding and there was no way to put the sugar and sweetness on top that you wanted to. So you had to talk about like, now look straight ahead, point your nose right where you're looking, move your nose. And it's like, now notice out here along the sides, that's an area of blur. Don't look out there. It's like I could never figure out a way to educate them, but not make it seem like these lenses are terrible and you're going to hate this. And it's so wonderful that technology has improved to the point where we don't have to point out all the lenses' flaws when we dispense it.
Right. And I think, like in my practice, there's nothing my opticians love more than having us use a lens that the patients love and the patients aren't walking back in the door and saying, hey, I'm having trouble with this, or, you know, I'm getting this blur. You know, I found early in my career with some of the early no-line bifocals, as we were kind of learning which ones to use, the opticians were spending a fair amount of time dealing with patients having trouble with their no-line bifocals. And I think we all know, you know, there's the patient that's sitting in your exam room, and when you mention, hey, I think it's time to put a little reading prescription in your everyday glasses, and, you know, they immediately kind of pop to, I know somebody that had trouble adapting to their no-line bifocal. I like to go into kind of an explanation with those folks about, you know, there's a lot of different types of no-line bifocals. What we want to put you in is a new technology designed to make your adaptation of that lens super smooth, super easy. This lens has an improved intermediate range. So all those things you're doing at arm's length are going to be so much easier with this lens. But I think that conversation with them about the benefits of these newer design no-line bifocals really helps kind of plant the seed and kind of get the opticians ready to rock and roll with it.
When we were talking about patient education there, because the truth is progressive and that word, no-line bifocal progressives, they've been out on the market for a long time. And I think it's easy for our patients to think, well, a progressive is a progressive is a progressive, right? Like, you wrote me this prescription and I can go take it down the street and get it filled. How do you educate them that there's that difference in what they might get online retailer or a big box wholesaler versus what you provide them with your optical?
Yeah, that's a great point, Jennifer. And I think the way my approach to this is to essentially tell those patients that in my mind, I kind of put no line progressives into kind of three different categories. And I tell the patient, you know, there's hundreds of different variations within these categories, but essentially there are commercial grade no line bifocals, there are brand name no line bifocals, and then there are highly customized no line bifocals. And what I tell the patient is I say, what we like to use in our practice is a new technology brand name no line bifocal. And the reason we use it is because our patients love it. So a lot of times that addresses that thought that I can go get that less expensive one somewhere else. And frankly, the reality is that they're not necessarily less expensive. The perception is because they've seen a TV commercial or something that feeds this information that they're less expensive, they think I'll run down there and get the cheap one. And the reality is oftentimes they end up spending a good amount of money. I always liked that saying, don't get stuck with a bargain in your eye. And the thought, you know, the thought process that you're going to be wearing these glasses and looking through them for the next, at least the next year, maybe a couple years, you know, I want you to be seeing great. I really want to put you in a lens that I know is going to perform really well for you.
Yeah. And to add on to that, one thing that I always stress to my patients is that, you know, my practice has the latest technology. Look at your cell phone. I mean, do you have an iPhone 1, the original iPhone? No. So why would you want to go with the older lens technology? We have the iPhone 10, you know, something that's new, cutting edge. It's going to give you the best vision, just make your lifestyle even better. And just everything that you do day to day is just going to enhance it. So, you know, get with the technology. And when you start talking technology, it really starts to, you know, turn heads, because people always want the latest and greatest when it comes to cell phones, cars, or just any kind of technology in general. So they can really, you know, relate to that when you're talking about eyewear or lens technology as well.
Yeah, I love that, Daryl. You know, people know when they go to the Apple store, they're not getting a bargain. You know, they're paying top dollar for top product, but correlating that feel of the best technology on the market with your practice is always a win.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we really should truly own progressives. I mean, we need to do a better job as optometrists. And I'm so thankful for Essilor coming out with the Excellence series. I mean, it's just an amazing technology that they have. One thing that I love to do in the exam room whenever I have a patient coming in and they're like, Dr. Glover, I hate these progressives. I can't see out of these. I sit in front of my computer all day and I can't see anything. I always have to take them off and then I get eye fatigue and strain. Tell them two things. Number one, I'll tell them about this newer technology that's out that Verilux has. And then number two, I love to do this. I'll basically sit with them at eye level and I'll hold a piece of paper in front of their face and I'll tell them to read what's up top, which is normally my name, Dr. Daryl Glover. And they're like, it's real fuzzy. It's just how it is in front of my computer. And I'm like, that's your problem. You need to lower that computer below eye level. That way you can see it sharper and clear. So what I do basically is drop the paper below eye level, and then they can see through that intermediate zone and everything's a lot clearer and sharper. And then it just changes their world completely. So I tell them how to actually use the progressive properly, but also I explain to them that there's some newer lens technology out there that can really change their world quite a bit. And by the next time I see them, or when they pick up their glasses, or if they come in for an adjustment, they're like, Dr. Glover, you changed my world. One other thing that we really need to own is a good relationship with the ergonomic department, simply because they're telling our patients the wrong way to use the progressive. They're putting the computer at eye level. And if you wear a progressive, it's going to be a nightmare for the patient. So we really need to be more hands-on and really own this lane when it comes to lens technology.
That's awesome.
Dale, you mentioned what you do in the exam room. Dr. Paula, is there anything that you do physically in the exam room or during your refraction to ensure the success of your prescription afterwards?
Yeah, and I think like Daryl was just kind of saying, I think that conversation about how they're using their eyes and where they're sitting. And, you know, I tell patients, you know, you want your eyes to be able to look right over the top of that computer monitor straight ahead, so that then you're dropping down into that intermediate. The one thing I also love to share with them about the Verilux X is intermediate with the Verilux X is really fantastic compared to the predecessors. You've got a wider intermediate range there. And so a lot of those challenges that some of those folks were talking about with their intermediate vision before with no line bifocals, they're doing great with this Verilux X now, because they can drop right down. If they're sitting to the right level, they drop right down and they're good to go at that distance. In our practice, we're pretty efficient in the exam room. And I think many of our, you know, new practitioners, if you're seeing patients every 20 minutes or so, you know, I like to kind of use that mentality that I'm going to create a relationship with my patient during their eye exam. I'm going to also give them a good thorough explanation of, number one, what is presbyopia? They don't know what's happening with their eyes. They know that they've got some buddies that wear readers, you know, their neighbor is wearing readers. They don't understand the whole process. So I do like to go into a bit of an explanation of the, you know, the lens inside your eye. You know, it swells to read up close and it flattens and relaxes so you can see far away. As we go through time and we have a few birthdays, you know, that lens just isn't quite working as well. And, you know, it's having a little trouble kind of bouncing back and forth. As I'm sure both of you witnessed, one of the early indicators that someone's starting to have that trouble is they're sitting in their on their couch at night, they're looking at their iPad, and then they pop their eyes up to watch TV. And they'll tell you, I see the iPad great, but when I go up to see the TV, you know, now that's when I have the, you know, my problem is
every day.
My problem is a far away vision problem, right? So I think I like going into that discussion with them about the actual mechanics of the eye a little bit. And we've had pretty good success with that. I think my opticians love just using a new technology. I think that's the point of the Apple Store and all those other things. And we've built our practice on happy patients that come back to see us and send their friends and family and coworkers, and nothing makes them happier than putting on their new glasses and going, man, these are awesome.
What I love about your description of presbyopia is, I think all of us must have been trained this at some point, you never use the word aging. It's always birthdays. And patients, for whatever reason, if you say something about age or old, they're like, oh, I'm so upset about this whole exam. But birthdays, they like giggle to themselves a little bit. It's such a key.
Yes. And I don't know where I picked that up, but somewhere, at least personally, I picked up this, you've had a few birthdays, and so that's making it a little tougher. And
it must have been the SEO thing. It's what I do too.
Yeah. Must have learned that in school somewhere. But I can, you know, I picture myself as a 44-year-old now. I just think of myself, if I went into a provider of any type and they told me that I was getting old, I would, you know, I'd say, hey, wait a minute. You know, I know there's some gray going on here. You know,
come on. Yeah, it immediately makes you defensive and probably less trusting of what their recommendation is going to be next. So yeah. Word to avoid.
One thing that I use whenever I'm in the exam room, I always say, you know, we're getting a little younger by the day and men like it, but women love it. And they just eat it up. And then they're super prepared to jump into any type of multifocal pair of glasses. So Jen, next time you're in the exam room, Ryan, next time you're in the exam room, say, hey, we're just getting a little younger by the day. And you'll see how much they'll smile, how they'll start laughing. And then it just makes the conversation about a progressive so much easier.
Perfect.
Good point. You know, one other thing I want to ask you guys about your refraction process for getting that like perfect presbyopia multifocal prescription. I've heard various thoughts on this. Do you guys add a quarter plus to what you get with the near card, or do you leave it straight with what you measure in the office?
You know, so essentially what I do their distance refraction, you know, monocular, then do their binocular distance, kind of clean that up. Then when I pop down the near card, I go right to the age norm for them. And I click that in there for them. And I say, can you read the bottom line? If they say, yep, I can read those 20/20 letters down there at the bottom and it looks great, then I might back down two steps and say, how does that look? And what I expect them to say is, it's not quite as good. I'll come back another step and they'll say, that looks great. And then we'll kind of determine, all right, do we stick with that one or do we go one more? I tend to find that I do not add plus for sure. If anything, I'm right on their, what's their 16-inch, you know, 40 centimeter near vision focus number that we need there. It's been a beautiful thing that we are not practicing optometry in the 1980s when you were talking no line bifocals and you're trying to explain to the patient, you're going to get 8 to 10 inches of clear vision here. We need to really figure out where that 8 to 10 inches is going to be on your near card. That's a beautiful thing with these no lines. And particularly now with the Varilux X, where you've got that just the superior intermediate vision, I think you can go a little strong on the plus if you want to, because the intermediate is so great. But I tend not to do that.
Yeah, I'm essentially the same. But the other things that I look at is just the height of the person, how long their arms are. Ask them how far do they typically sit from their computer. I just kind of observe their everyday setting for the most part. And then I'll take the ad that I found and I'll make the adjustment from there for the most part.
Yeah, that's a really good point. A lot of times those long arm, tall men, 16 inches is way closer than they'll ever hold it. So you have to kind of subtract a little bit of ad for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's a great point.
So Dr. Powell, I mean, you've obviously with 10 practices, you've seen a ton of younger, fresh out of school docs rotating through. Do you see that generation, myself and Daryl and docs younger than us, making mistakes when it comes to presbyopia prescribing?
Yes. And I think the first point I would make is they're not doing anything differently than what I did when I first got out of school. So I think when you get out of school and you start practicing, you know, there's a learning curve to, you know, when am I putting patients in a no line bifocal? So When do they need it? I think early on, I called no-line bifocals progressives. I thought it sounded smart, and I sounded smart. My patients had no idea what I was talking about. You know, they think of them as no-line bifocals. And then I think we touched on this just a little bit earlier too, but just I've learned to really try to understand the patient more. What are they doing? Just like Daryl was just saying, you know, they're tall, they've got longer arms. Do they sit at a computer for 8 to 10 hours a day? What are the things they're doing? I'd also say early in my career, I sometimes was too busy to spend time learning from the lens rep or the lab rep or whoever had stopped by to, you know, at the time I thought they're just here to sell me something or try to talk me into, you know, switching to their lab.
Right.
As I've kind of evolved, I've sort of learned, you know, I can learn something from every one of those encounters. They don't need to be half an hour encounters, and I don't need to go to lunch with all of them, but we can meet, stop by the office. I can chat with you for 5 or 10 minutes. Teach me what it is that you have going on. I find a lot of value in that kind of, you know, leaning on my reps a little bit. That helps me understand when a new lens comes out, like the Varilux X. I've got Alyssa, who is my brand rep for Essilor, stops by the office and tells me, you know, here's what's different about a Varilux X compared to a Varilux S, and here's what's different compared to Comforts and those W3s and other ones that we've had, you know, down the line. And so I find it to be very helpful because it also gives me tools that I can share with my patients. You know, I'm always looking for kind of patient speak words and ways to, you know, ways to communicate with the patient. And I think the more I'm armed with an education about that, the better. So anyway, those are kind of some new grad things that probably, and again, I think back to myself, I put patients in progressives that weren't ready for them when I first graduated and probably for the first couple of years until, you know, those patients would walk back in the door. Here's a classic example, a 40-year-old emmetrope that's never worn a pair of glasses in their life. And they walk in the door and they tell you they're having some trouble with their near vision. That person might, in our textbook and in our refraction, we might determine, hey, you know what? You could use a no-line bifocal. If we put them in the wrong one, they're going to fail with that. So I think we just have to kind of think through, is this a person that's spending their day driving for a job, or are they doing near vision tests for a job? And, you know, what's the best solution for them?
Yeah, I think you nailed it. I mean, education on all ends. I mean, whether it's you educating the patient, whether it's you getting education from your lens rep, whether it's you going to a conference and learning more about the Varilux X lens series. I mean, it makes a world of difference. I mean, just think about it. Where do we make most of our money? In the optical department. So why would you not learn the lens technology? That way you can enhance your patient's knowledge, but also make more for the bottom line of your practice. It just makes sense to invest in knowing the lens technology of what you carry in your practice.
Yeah, totally agree.
You mentioned profitability, Daryl, and I think that's one thing that for the history of optometry, obviously glasses has been something that really drives our practice success. And multifocal lenses especially is very vital part to that success of our practice's finances. Have you found that prescribing progressive lens technology has been an essential part to your practice's financial success?
Yeah, so in my practice, I think our financial success over the years has a lot to do with, you know, we have happy patients. So we prescribe what's best for our patient, and kind of our whole focus with all of our doctors and when we get together, what we talk about is, you know, what can we do that meets the best needs of our patients? And adopting new technology, our patients expect our practice to be on the cutting edge. So they've kind of come to learn. I think a lot of practices will kind of say, we use the latest technology. So that's a kind of a common, you know, marketing theme. But what does that really mean? Are you using the latest technology? And, you know, are you implementing that into your kind of practice? My practices are all growing. I think when we look at top line revenue, and when you talk to practices about, you know, are you making money? Everybody reports their top number. The real key for us is we expect our top number to be going up, but we also expect the bottom number, the net revenue, to be going up. So when you get to the bottom of that profit and loss statement, you know, what's that number looking like? And is it following the same trend that your gross revenue number is following? And our philosophy of applying new technology is making both of those numbers move in the right direction, which has been a fantastic diagnostic thing.
Wow, that's great. It sounds like the Verilux X series has helped enhance your patient experience, increase your bottom line. You have happier team members in your office that love the products that they sell because they're innovative and they really don't have to sell it. It sells itself. Do you have any stories from patients that you'd like to share in regards to the Verilux X series lens experience?
I would like to share one little anecdotal story. This was pretty amazing to me. I went to my opticians 6 months ago and just ask them, give me your feedback on the Verilux X lens. I really want to know how you feel about it, how your patients are doing with it. I really want to know from your perspective how it's going. And one of my opticians told me that she had a patient that came in. This patient had been to our practice before. This patient came in. We put this patient in a Verilux X lens. The patient went back to her work and was so thrilled with the improved intermediate vision distance. And she works in a computer setting. She and all her coworkers are you know, in desk settings with computers. She called our office and said, she went to the Essilor website and printed off a bunch of information about the Verilux X lens and how it works. She got the name of it from our optician. And she asked us, can I put your office's name and phone number on this information and stick it on some boards around our office so that other people know to come to you so they can get this lens? That's never happened with any pair of lenses that we've ever put on somebody that I know of. So it's pretty, I was like, well, that's not the story I was expecting to hear from my opticians. That's a little more than I bargained for, but I was like, holy moly. So, you know, that thing really is, practicing what it preaches, if you will.
Yeah. I mean, it's a powerful lens. I put my father in that same lens and he does a lot of work on a computer. He likes to take pictures and edit, and he has three monitors that sit in front of him while he's doing it. And of course, you know, being an optometrist, I like to prescribe her lifestyle. So I've written out several prescriptions from, you know, a progressive to sunglasses to computer glasses to whatever else you can think of. But whenever he's sitting in front of the computer, he uses his computer glasses all the time. But his glasses, he stepped on them, so they were broken. It was his time to get a new pair of progressives. So I put him in an X series. And he told me essentially the same thing. He said, I don't need my computer glasses anymore. This intermediate zone is tremendously wider or better than it ever has been in the past with any other progressives that I've used. And ever since then, he's been rocking with his progressive lenses nonstop. So Essilor nailed it with this one. You know, I'm not at that age where I need a pair of progressives, but I can't wait till I get to that point in time. And hopefully they'll have some better technology than that.
Take your time.
Hey man, I'm not rushing, man. I'm living my life and loving it.
Yeah. Well, speaking of, you're not quite there yet. You know, people like us, Daryl, that we're just a matter of birthdays away. I'm just kidding. Getting younger by the day.
You got
it.
We
have a way of simulating presbyopia coming up real soon here at Vision Expo West. So if you head to the Essilor booth, LP11065, you can go to the Verilux Experience, and they're going to have a simulation for you to actually see the lenses and how it works within your prescription. And you'll also get a chance to look at the R&D behind the lens. So it's be our way to kind of preview the next 10 years.
Jen, I'm a little older than you, so I guess I'll hit it before you, but I'll let you know how it is, all right?
I can't wait.
Dr. Powell, since you're the poster child of getting younger by the day and the master of prescribing progressive lenses, if any of our listeners, followers have a question, what's the best way for them to get in contact with you?
My contact information, my email address is drpowell@vsicare.com. I also have a Twitter handle that I'd love to have anybody that's interested follow.
Okay.
My little Twitter thing is @care4u. So I care thoughts for you, I-C-A-R-E, the word thoughts, and then the number 4 and the letter U. Yeah, if anybody has questions or I can help with anything, don't hesitate to look me up.
Okay, it's a wrap. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with Defocus Media. We hope something resonated with you today. Please subscribe to our podcast and remember, we keep it 2020 around here, pun intended. We look forward to seeing you next time.